In time, unexpected, undefined, binds us, unites us, does not divide us, but reminds us of who we are. A body, not a building, unrelenting, unyielding, persevering, revealing the faithfulness of God. Maybe this virus has started a fire inside us, ignited us, inspired us to live louder, love harder, care deeper. 6 feet, 6 miles, or a world apart. Our calling remains the same. For we are the body of Christ.
So, in this current season, I want to lean back into picking up on the conversation that I began last week that we had Alex be a part of talking about calling. Because I want to talk to you this morning, not so much as a pastor to church members, but I actually want to talk to you as someone who is called of God to those that are called of God. That's you. Look at your neighbor and say, you're called. Did you know that? And I don't mean your cell phone either. But we need to be reminded, and there's a couple things I'll share along the way here. You know, as a follower of Jesus, we are chosen, we are gifted, and we are called. Paul's letter to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, where he says, "Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God." Now, let's just sit on this for a moment, okay? And I want you to think about where you are in life, whether you're a child or you're an adult, whether you're young or you're mature. Just this idea of understanding that there's a call here placed upon your life, according to Paul, that you're supposed to live life worthy of calling. And so these things that we're involved in, this thing called church even, and even this idea of church in this new season, because it's all new for us, right? We're called by God to be a part of the church. And it isn't that we go to church, and we've been able to demonstrate that right over the many weeks, that if anything it's clear in this current season is that we are the church. And together, outside of the building, because we realize that the building is just simply a tool shed, I like to say. And it does really create just a moment of, this is where we come back to get the tools to go out and do what needs to be done. Now, part of where I wanted to go with this, and it was interesting, this week I was on a Zoom call with some of our tribe's pastors. And it's clear that in this current season, there is a lot of controversy over whether and how we should open. I can tell you that we have churches within our tribe, I know particularly where they were open for a couple weeks and people were back in the building, and then somebody came to church and presented as with being positive with COVID-19, tested, therefore it forced the church then to close, and they're actually closed again this weekend because they self-quarantine. But it's those things that we need to think about, because the thing that's sort of weighing on my heart is whether we're open or closed, how do we, in the context of doing this thing called church, as we be the church, how do we bring the kingdom to bear on that? Because I really think if it's about our holy huddles and about us just sitting around singing our little kumbaya songs, that's good, but that's not what the church is. And the church has been around for 2,000 years, so the good thing is it's going to continue to flourish and God's going to build it, despite what comes against it. That's the promise. But the tension we find ourselves in right now is this idea that we want what's for us. And yet I can tell you, just in the conversations I have in the community and see on social media, and I'm sure you're having your own conversations, there are a lot of people right now that are just really confused about what to look towards in terms of the future. And so I think it's more paramount than ever for us as the church, as Linden Road, as part of a tribe of churches, as part of a network of churches in our community, that are different stripes and colors, if you will, of theology. All of us together, one thing that binds us is the truth that Jesus is Lord and he has called us. And so this morning, I want to have that kind of conversation. And I know that right now, and I hear this, that we're worn down, that many of us are physically drained, that some of us are emotionally exhausted, and we're actually in the spirit of discouragement, if you will, which is why I reached out to Alex last week and invited him just to try to encourage, because I don't know what it looks like for him, and I don't know how he's going to flourish in a season where he's beginning this new ministry opportunity, although he's in year 5, I guess, there, but how different this year. This is like a whole new year, and he's starting all over again. But I will say this much, and I want to go back to that life verse of mine from John 10:10, to remind us that the evil one comes to kill, crush, and destroy, and he's in that he's going to try to kill us, literally and figuratively, and he's going to wear us down. He's going to try to discourage you, and he's going to sneak up on us with these ideas. And I've had a couple conversations with some younger folks this week who are in ministry trying to think about this new season. Just wondering, can I keep doing this? Is it worth it? What is this going to look like? And then really asking the question, does what I do really matter? And we heard that even from Alex last week, and I'd point you back to that message again, just how encouraged he was that we just were able to have a conversation. So how do you overcome discouragement? And how do you overcome fatigue? And how do you overcome exhaustion? Or how do you overcome self-doubts or even spiritual opposition? How do you keep the passion not only for the moment, but how do you keep it for the days and the weeks and the months and the years ahead? And you think about right now, this is, I think, going on week 15 that we've not been together in our building. Although, as I said at the beginning, we're going to try to open up to create some opportunities maybe to socially, distantly engage. But know that that's not what we really want. We're actually looking for what we know, which is, you know, our choir leading us with amazing voices, and our young people being able to go downstairs and be part of the children's ministry, and the joy that they bring, and all those things. And right now, we're all missing that. So the thing I want you to think about for a moment is, what am I called to do? I mean, what are you called to do as a Christ follower? Now, most people think the job, right? That here's what I'm going to do, whatever it is. In fact, when most men get together, the first question that usually comes up when they first meet for the first time is, so what do you do for a living? But I want to just talk about what God has called us to, and to set that as the stage as we begin to think about what's going to become our new opportunities in the days ahead. So the first idea is this, that God calls you to salvation. So before God calls you to a job, he actually calls you to himself. Jesus didn't come to call the righteous, but he came to call sinners to repentance. Come, he said, come and follow me. Come and take on my yoke, because my burden is light. And to put our confidence in him, and to understand the sacrifice that he made on our behalf, that he paid the price ultimately. And so the things that we deal with, the things of the weight of our own brokenness, that just to understand that he's carried those for us, and that as we sit here and you watch each week, you see the cross behind me, to be reminded that he came and paid that ultimate penalty and offered his life. But then not only did God call us to salvation, he also calls us to sanctification. So that's a big word, big seminary word. And basically what it just means is to be set apart, that you're to be set apart. Or another way is to say to be made holy, called to live a holy life. And so it's the process. In fact, sort of for me in my mind, as I understand how this thing works, this thing called the Christian life, is that there's a point where we're converted, where we come to faith in Christ. That's the salvation. As we acknowledge that, then we begin this lifelong pursuit of becoming more holy. It really is this idea that we just have to faithfully lean into who God is sometimes, and we're not going to get it right. And so even in this current season, where the question of masks or no masks, and just all the things that are being pushed to the surface in our social connections, to be reminded that we're on this journey, and you know, to be patient with each other, because God's not done with us yet, right? And then not only does God call us to salvation, and he calls us to sanctification, this idea of being set apart to be made holy, he also calls you then to service. You know, he takes your gifts and your talents, and he leverages them for amazing opportunities. And we've seen that. And I've shared over the last couple weeks, you know, went back in and looked at our Christmas caroling and things that, you know, we lean into and just sort of take for granted. But in this season right now, it's like, my goodness, what is Christmas going to look like? So it's interesting, Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So that's amazing to encourage us, but to be reminded that we're to do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, and I sat with a young man this week who is like, how do you know if you're ready? Is it when you know enough? When you're good enough? What about if you don't feel ready? Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. I mean, so this understanding of who we are, whose we are, and what we're called to be a part of, and that there's, in some sense, we really don't have standing necessarily, but that's the beauty we can find out together is being part of the church. And maybe you've heard this said before, but God doesn't call the prepared. God prepares the called. It's really this simple idea, but it's a hard idea because sometimes we think, well, I'm not ready to do this. I don't have the right theological training. I haven't studied the scriptures enough. But we need to see that your story, your journey to adulthood, or if you're a student, even where you find yourself right now as you're leaning into finding that independence, is that God is in the midst of that. When we look at each of our individual stories, now my life is not, my story of salvation is not really, a blockbuster. Like there are some where it's this amazing conversion. I was raised in the church. My parents faithfully took me to the church every Sunday. We sat third row, right side. I was involved in Sunday school and youth group and camp and all those great things. And to be honest, in those days, I was probably the least likely person to ever become a pastor. In fact, it's kind of sad that this week we were supposed to celebrate my class reunion. You can try to figure out how old that is. And they ended up canceling because of COVID. But I know that my classmates would tell you that they just would be really surprised that I'm doing what I'm doing today. And so even in my own story that, so God didn't call me to be a pastor. And to be honest, I've always, at least the way I've dealt with this since I've been here is, you'll notice I call myself the lead pastor, but that's not because I'm other than just this idea that we're all pastors together. I believe in the priesthood of all believers, which means the weight that you have as a person within the kingdom is no less a weight than I have. Now, I've got a little bit of theological training, but in today's culture, especially in this current season, there's so much you can get off the internet in terms of study and learning through a small group material. There's all this ability to be able to learn that idea is really changing because of our technology. Sometimes when we lean into trying to understand our own calling, we get criticism from people, and that in itself could really confirm what it is you're supposed to do. If you think about it, go back to that original scripture I shared with you, that you're being called by God to live a life worthy. And so I just want to unpack in our time this morning just two aspects of this, of what calling is all about. Because in this next season of the church, and I don't mean just Linden Road, but I think capital C church across the globe, coming out of the pandemic, coming out of the social upheaval, because we're still sort of, we're not through it yet. I'm not sure where we are in the timeline, but I know things are already different and they're going to continue to change. And the question is, how do we as God's people be faithful in that? So there's two qualities of this idea of calling that I want to point out. First of all, calling costs. There's a weight to this. So like, for example, when God called Saul of Tarsus, he was blinded by the light and God didn't tell him what was going on. And Paul went through this crazy moment, and you can read it on your own, but it's he wasn't quite sure what was going on. But yet once he was healed, he had this amazing resume, right? He had this amazing clout. I'm just reading through the end of the book of Acts and just the place that he was able to operate from, because not only was he Jew, but he was also a Roman citizen. And so there's an interesting conversation with King Agrippa in the latter part of Acts, where because of the weight of who Paul is as a Roman citizen, the centurions, it's just interesting what that brought him. I mean, it gave him a massive platform. And so it's just interesting how God uses that, right? in Acts chapter 9, it says, "But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings, and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.'" Well, okay. I'm not sure how much Paul heard that, but that's like, you know, the weight of his life, and that God is going, there's a cost to it. It's interesting here that you may be God's chosen instrument in some context, wherever it may be, but it does come with a cost. And so part of it is just even in the context of following Jesus, is this idea is the moment that you step into this, your calling, you have to step out of your comfort zone, because that's the only way you're going to find how God works. And for me, in my own story, just coming to be the lead pastor here at Linden Road, I came out of a church that had to downsize. And so I really was a little bit anxious about the idea, I've always been a second or third chair guy, can I really lead a church? And then I can tell you, the one thing that seminary didn't prepare me for is this idea of leading church in an age of a pandemic. Because we've never been here, people, at least not in 103 years, and not with the amazing things that we can use to sort of leverage our place, which is this technology. But there's a tension there there's a weight to it that's heavy. And I think we need to understand that going forward. And at the same time, I also think that God uses our deepest pain to launch us into our greatest calling. It's not easy. You're going to get rejected. You're going to be misunderstood, laughed at. You're going to face spiritual attacks. And to be honest, it's the weight of the private pain is a big part of the public calling, right? Even this week, as I said, I've had a couple conversations with some young people that are just in a new season of ministry, and they're really being challenged because of just the difficulty of trying to decide how to lead in this and the clarity that's needed. It's confusing because you just don't know what direction to go because of the uncertainty of the certainty of uncertainty. It seems like right now we're in a season where every 10 days things change. Living your call is a thrill, but it's also a burden. There's a weight to it. Ministry can be exhilarating, but it can also be exhausting. If following Jesus isn't the greatest gift and the greatest burden, see, there's a tension here, then we're probably not doing it right. Not easy. And again, I'm not talking to you as the pastor. I'm talking to you as a fellow co-laborer in the kingdom as we're trying to figure out how do we bring the message of hope of Jesus to our community together. Not just what I'm doing, but how do we do it together? And the good thing here is, it's also the frustrating thing, is that God never promised it would be easy. You see, the biggest enemy of your calling is comfort. We want to be comfortable. And if you think about anything in the local church in the last 20 years, if you've been around, there's been a lot of changes. And there's been a lot of transition. And there's been a lot of struggles. Many of us that are in traditional churches, because some of the things we're leaning into is this idea of that we're not supposed to be comfortable. There's a world outside of the walls of our building that need us to find our place in the kingdom and make a difference. And yet I can tell you, talking to our pastors in our tribe earlier this week, the frustration comes that how do we bring the kingdom in our communities? And was talking with one pastor who has a divided session, who are on opposite ends on this issue of opening and reopening and masks and no masks. It's a conspiracy and it really is dangerous. And how do you, in the moment of that, because those things are not attractional to the world around us. Those things are going to keep people from coming in our doors. And so we've got to figure out how to begin conversations with people to have the impact that God wants us to have. Because the good thing is, as I've said before and I said earlier, is that God's going to build his church regardless of how we lean into it. And I just want to join God in that, and I want to invite you to be a part of that. There's this calling has a cost. At the same time, it's a tension. Calling sustains us. It carries us. It helps us to keep going. I mean, look at Paul again. How did he endure? How did he not lose his faithful engagement in his faith? How did he not become discouraged or bitter? How did he just not quit? I mean, it's crazy, his story. He was brutally persecuted. He was tortured. He was in prison 5 times. He was whipped with 39 lashes. He was drowned. He was stoned. He was snake bitten. And, you know, his life was not very comfortable. He was, you know, falsely accused, wrongly imprisoned. And so how did he persevere when so many fell away? Well, it's kind of simple, actually. First of all, Paul didn't finish because he was competent. Paul finished because he was called. And see, that's why even the season we find ourselves in, as we've transitioned even to this day, as you think about, if you've been around Linden Road for the last 3 years, you know the journey we've been on and how complicated that is. And so it's not about who's sitting here or who's leading us. Really, the idea here is this church is called to be a part of the community. And so Paul offers us this in Philippians chapter 3. He says, "Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." And we know that, right? He says, "I've kept the faith. I've finished the race." He says, "I'm called to it." And so part of this conversation today is really talking, you know, I would love that we could be at Starbucks or Skyline or you know, Taco Bell, knee to knee, toe to toe, just saying, look, we have to together link arms and really lean into finding our calling to be all that God desires for us. And I got to tell you that this has been, in my year of vocational ministry, my season of vocational ministry as a youth pastor and now as a lead pastor, this has been like the hardest year. And we're only halfway through it, right? I mean, you think about COVID, you think about the racial challenges, you think about the political tension. It would have been much easier to go do something else. But see, I don't want to miss out on what God's doing, because I really think in this season, the things that I'm encouraged by is that God's getting ready to do something and we get to be a part of that. And so I can't stop. I'm not going to quit. I'm called to this. It's not going to go. I'm not going to let it go away. I'm not going to let go. I'm never going to let up on this. Paul said that he was hard pressed on every side. He wasn't crushed, though. He was perplexed, but he says not in despair. He was persecuted, but he was not abandoned. He was struck down, but he was not destroyed. See, I know that for some of us, we really have to lean into saying, okay, God, what are you calling me to? And I know in the model of church that we've experienced over the last 3-4 decades, it really has been about, you know, professional staff being up front, leading church members through whatever it is we're doing, very program driven. And I have a real deep sense that the future going ahead is not going to be that, especially if this pandemic continues and we have to continue social distancing, the energies that we need to have to be able to invest. And so one of the ways we're going to do that this week coming up and watch your email is we have an opportunity for some of us to go and serve at St. Luke's with Point of Grace on Saturday afternoon with a meal. It'll be socially distant. It'll be a handout as opposed to a meal where we serve it. But at the same time, we know there are people that are in need in our community that need that. And so we'll invite you, if you can bring some food and watch your email for the details, and we'll let you know about that. The one thing I want us to sit on, though, is this idea as I wrap up, is that our calling is irrevocable. And even if maybe you haven't been leaning into it even in the last decade or in the last 3 months, either way, that your call cannot be taken away, can't be recalled, it can't be repealed, it can't be annulled, it can't be withheld, or it can't be withdrawn. It is who you are. The question is, what are you going to do with it? So my invitation to you is to reclaim it. To this morning, wrap your arms around it, to write yourself a note and begin to lean into some quiet time with Jesus, to ask him to come alongside you and help you find your place in bringing the hope of the gospel to those that are far from him, that we're called to be in this. So just to wrap, hear this verse from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Hear this. Paul says, "We constantly pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you." That's the invitation. That's the thing we're being invited to be a part of. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss that. And so together, let's pray. Father, thank you that the work that we are doing, the work that you've given us to do, doesn't depend on our own abilities. We've seen that in so many different ways, especially in this season.